$4.8 billion. That is the amount of investments received by tech startups across the African continent in 2021, with the emergence of at least 5 new unicorns. Africa's tech ecosystem has been experiencing tremendous growth in recent years. The continent also defies the global trend in 2022. As funding for startups declines across the globe, Africa is standing out as a notable exception. To keep track of the dynamism of this ecosystem and to learn more about the continent's specificities, Razors, your fundraising partner from seed to Series B, decided to create AfriMoney, a podcast in which we share insightful conversations with entrepreneurs, investors, and regional leaders on the African tech startup ecosystem. Enjoy! Today, I'm very happy to welcome Ismaël Belkhayat, the co-founder and CEO of Shairi, an e-commerce app helping small retailers in French-speaking Africa procure inventory for their stores and get delivered for free while benefiting from payment facilities. In this episode, Ismaël talked to us about his background, the multiple ventures he created, African copycats, and the Moroccan tech ecosystem. He also gives us all his secrets and advice to succeed in raising funds.
Hello, Ismaël. I'm very happy to welcome you on AfriMoney by Razors. Can you please introduce yourself and your background in a few words?
Hello, Rita. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And first of all, I am in love with your French-Moroccan accent in English.
Thank you.
For the first time, I'm pretty sure I'm going to understand all of the questions you're going to ask me. So quickly about myself, my name is Ismaël. I am born in Morocco. I left after high school. I went to Europe for my undergrads, then to the US. And then I came back to Paris to become a consultant for BCG. And then I was sent to Morocco, and I worked in Morocco as a consultant before becoming an entrepreneur.
Okay, fine. So before deep diving into your current company, I wanted to know why did you decide to go back to Morocco after your studies? Why didn't you stay in France?
It's a very good question. You know, as a Moroccan, usually you meet with people who ask you about you, about your plans, about what you want to do next. And usually when you say my plans are to go back to Morocco, many people look at you and just think, oh, this guy is crazy. Why would he leave Europe to go back to Africa when you have a lot of Africans trying to go to Europe? And the answer to your question is that I really felt back at that time that there are much more opportunities in Africa, in the sense that everything was still to be done, mainly in the tech sector. We are speaking of 2012. You know, about 10 years ago, again, when nothing was happening in terms of tech, and that all the opportunities were still available. And again, of course, the market is bigger in Europe. Of course, you can do bigger things in Europe, but you usually face a lot of competition when you start something in Africa. The odds that you end up succeeding are to me much, much higher.
Okay. And before that, you were working at the BCG in Paris, then in Casablanca.
Yes. So basically, when I applied to BCG back at that time, BCG was just starting in Morocco and it wasn't a proper office. So the office of Paris was supervising the one of Morocco, and in order to end up going to Morocco, you had to go first to Paris, where you had to take all of the interviews and then spend a few months there to get trained, have your first missions projects before being sent to Morocco. So I was among the first actually men on the ground and first consultants to be sent to Morocco to work here. And in the meantime, obviously, the office got much bigger. And today it's a proper office that is fully independent from the one of Paris.
And at the time, you were already thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, or when did you really choose to leave the world of strategy consulting to become an entrepreneur?
Oh, it's a very good question. So first of all, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And the proof is when I was studying, I took many classes related to entrepreneurship. But again, when I got my degree, I wasn't feeling really ready. I didn't have also the means for my ambitions, and I wasn't basically an expert of anything. So when you are in this very situation, and when you don't know, when you know what you want to do, but you feel that you are not ready to do it right now, the best solution is to become a consultant, because within the consulting world, you can basically find out about a lot of industries, discover a lot of new things, and meet with a lot of people. And this is why I decided to become a consultant. And then I spent there about 3 years looking for ideas that would work. And I basically quit when I had in mind the right ideas and how to execute them. And my first businesses were fully related to basically my job at BCG.
Okay, and then can you tell us more like about your entrepreneurship journey, and more specifically about all the startups that you have founded? I've seen that you're the founder of VotreChauffeur.ma, Sarouti.ma, and of course Shared Now. So can you please tell us
Yeah,
more about all the journey?
of course, I can share with you some quick stories about my previous startups and how I ended up doing them. But when I was working at the BCG, as I told you, I was one of the first men on the ground, and back at that time we didn't have a proper office. So whenever we had a new project for a client in Morocco, we didn't have in-house the right human resources, and we used to bring from other offices a lot of experts. So every single day we had what we call fly-in, which are like consultants and experts from other offices coming to the office of Casablanca so they can help us with the client's needs. So as a consultant, I was obviously in charge of helping the clients, but also I was also in charge of the logistic itself. So whenever someone was coming, and because I was one of the all few Moroccans, I was the one, trying to find a supplier that could help with going to the airports, finding the people coming and taking them either to the client office or to our office. And I could find a lot of suppliers who had great cars, but no one of them was a reliable supplier, and many of them had again nice cars but didn't bring a great service, including a driver with a suit, someone who could open a door for you, take your luggage, offer you a bottle of water, ask you what you want to listen in the radio, and so on. So I felt, so many people were left in the airport without being taken by this supplier. So I felt there is a real need in Morocco for a company that would be structured and that would provide a real service going to the airport and keep picking up the travelers. So this is how I came up with the idea of Votre Chauffeur, which is again a company that helps travelers to get a driver from the airport and going wherever they want to go through an app. So it's through BCG, through a need that I discovered there, that I had the idea. So I quit BCG and started Votre Chauffeur, and obviously one of my first clients was BCG, but also all of the others, the other consulting firms and legal firms, and many multinationals are still using Votre Chauffeur, that got finally acquired by Avis Rental Cars. So today Votre Chauffeur is a company run by Avis, and it was I think a first great experience.
And what about Sarouti and Chéri then?
Yes, yeah, so after Votre Chauffeur, I before even moving to Saudi, I, you know, when I was at BCG, I used to do a lot of slides. And when you do slides, you are usually helped by other people or by tools that are specific to consulting, including one tool called the ThinkCell that is allowing you to do a lot of graphs and visual analysis. And when I left BCG, I couldn't have this tool anymore. So I contacted the company behind the tool called ThinkCell, and I told them, hey, I am a Moroccan. I would like to get a license. And they told me, we are sorry, we don't distribute in Morocco because we don't have any distributor. So I got the idea and I just said, hey, why don't I become your distributor? So I became the exclusive distributor of ThinkCell in Morocco, and that was a startup that got very successful. And today we are having hundreds of clients who bought from us thousands of licenses that are revenue recurring, recurring revenue for us. So again, I'm giving this example because it shows how you can find a problem and solve it yourself by building your own company. And same for the following company I started. It came from a personal need. I got married and I was looking for a bigger apartment. And again, in Morocco, it was very difficult to find something online. You had to go on the street, find out, you know, about agents, local agents called Samsar, who usually are, you know, people that you meet with in coffee shops and who take you to visit a few things that are not necessarily apartments you were looking for. And I would have loved to find a single marketplace where basically you could find everything you need without having to visit. And once you look at the pictures, the prices, you get in touch with the owners. And only when you find out about the prices, you decide to go visit in order not to lose too much time. So that's how basically I started the Saruti with the help of Property Finder, which is a group based in Dubai. And together we built this amazing marketplace that quickly became the leading real estate marketplace here in Morocco. And again, this is a good example of a startup that started from a need that was a problem I had in my daily life.
Okay, thank you. And do you think like African entrepreneurs should replicate like ideas from European or American startups in Africa? Do you think that it's that it could work, or that it is adapted to the African market?
The direct answer is yes, definitely. Okay. However, there are a few nuances here, and I will explain. I think that when you are in Africa, the innovation comes from the adaptation. Let me explain. It's very difficult to try to tackle a global problem while you're living and being an entrepreneur in Africa. The reason is your competitors trying to tackle the same global problems will be other startups that are based in developing countries and probably in the Silicon Valley. And these guys may be less smart than you, but they will have an ecosystem that you will never have. Because they are based in the Silicon Valley, they will have better access to funding, they will have better access to good human resources, they will have better access to, again, an ecosystem that will help them succeed faster than you. So, again, from your country in Africa, you won't be able to compete with other entrepreneurs that are in other regions of the world. So the only solution for you to be able to succeed is to try to tackle a local problem. And this local problem, again, doesn't necessarily exist in other countries. So you are the only one trying to solve it. However, you won't reinvent the wheel, and you have to get a lot of inspiration from what is existing somewhere else, but different. Let me explain. I believe in You know, in the developing countries, there are many buckets. Some countries are more developed than others. And if you take Africa, if you take especially Francophone Africa, you realize that some countries in Francophone Africa are maybe 2 years, three years behind other countries in Anglophone Africa or behind other countries in Southeast Asia and in South America. So the model is very simple. You take an airplane ticket, you go to South America, Southeast Asia, you see what are the succeeding startups there, what are the problems they are trying to solve, how they solve them. You get a lot of inspiration and you bring it to your markets. And that's when the job starts, because obviously you shouldn't do a copycat. You have to start adapting things. And this is why I said innovation is coming from adaptation, which means you solve a problem of your community by getting inspired by other problems that exist in other places of the world, but the solution you bring, you adapt it to your local needs.
Yes, so you don't solve the problem the exact same way a French entrepreneur would do, for example. And very interesting. And so now let's talk about like your current company, which is the Shari. Shari is an e-commerce app helping small retailers in French-speaking Africa procure inventory for their stores and get delivered for free while benefiting from payment facilities. Can you tell us more about your company and its current stage of development?
Yes, so as you said, Shari is a B2B app for local mom and pop shops, you know, the local grocery stores you find around the corners in Francophone Africa. So we give them this app so they can order anything they want, and we make sure to deliver the goods in less than 24 hours. On top of delivering FMCG goods, we also provide them with financial services like BNPL services, so we can help with their cash flow needs. So that's what we do. And in terms of stage, so we started 3 years ago now, first in Casablanca, then we expanded to the rest of Morocco, then to a few countries in Francophone Africa, including Ivory Coast. We are now a Series A company. We also started providing new services to the users, including a bookkeeping app that is allowing the shop owners, again, you handle the credits they give to their end users. And we just received a financial services license from the Central Bank of Morocco that is today allowing us to start offering various financial services and to start turning the shop owners into local financial services hubs, where the end users can go and pay his bills, top up his mobile, transfer money, get his insurance, and so on.
And how many people are working nowadays at Shari?
So we have 50 people who are working in the management itself, including the IT team, the marketing team, people in charge of the back office. And we have another 150 people who are on the ground. So either helping the shop owners trying to understand our apps, what we call our ambassadors or sales reps, or people in the cars delivering the goods, or people in the warehouses delivering the, preparing the, doing the pick and pack. And we also have a team of customer care, again, whose job is to be on the phone and train the shop owners to start using our services.
Okay. And Shari was the first Moroccan startup to be part of the YC Startup Accelerator program. How was this experience and what are the benefits you got from it?
Yes. So Shari was YC Summer 21. That batch, we were two Moroccan companies. So we were, Shari is one of the two first companies that started at the same time, the YC Summer 21 batch.
What was the second company?
Great guys. Forgot the name, but a great company. It's a logistic company that does a transport management system, and they're doing really well. Just forgot the name, but it's a very nice company. So the experience was great, mainly because you get to know other founders who are in your batch, who share with you their challenges, but you also get to know successful and inspiring people who basically share with you their experience, who show you that everything is possible. You also get your ambition go higher, again, because you see that in life, everything is possible. You get a lot of self-confidence, and you get obviously in touch with great investors through the YC batch.
Okay, and do you plan on expand to like Europe or the USA with your company or not? Do you think that it's possible to do like the other way, like to go from Africa to Europe?
So from Africa to the US, I don't think so, because it's too far away and the consumption habits are different. However, from Francophone Africa to France, it's definitely possible, mainly because if you analyze what is our model in Morocco, you realize that we distribute goods to local mom and pop shops who are independent stores. And when you look at the market in France, you realize that there are a lot of small grocery stores, independent stores that are usually run by Moroccans or Arabs in general that are coming from Francophone Africa. So you realize that the same typology of clients can be found in Francophone Africa, but also in France. So yes, definitely France could be a great market for us.
Okay. I've read that Moroccan startups are raising less than startups in other countries in Africa. Why do you think that the startup ecosystem is developing more slowly in Morocco than in neighboring countries like Tunisia or Egypt?
Yes, you're right. For some reasons, Moroccan startups are raising less. Mainly because the ecosystem is just starting, you know, the local administration is just taking the right decisions to put in place a legal framework for startups. Players down here in Morocco are realizing the role that the startup ecosystem can play in the economy. Morocco just woke up between brackets when it comes to understanding the how great a startup scene can be for the country, and we are trying now to catch up with the other countries in Africa, and I am sure that within the coming years you will see that Moroccan startups will start raising as much as the neighboring countries.
Yes, I also think that there are less incentives in Morocco to start a company because we have all the big companies that have their headquarters, their African headquarters in Africa. So when in Morocco, so when the Moroccan talents, they come back from Europe, for example, most of them choose to join like an executive position in a big company, and which is not possible in Tunisia, for example, because there are not a lot of headquarters there. So they choose then to become entrepreneurs.
It's a very good analyze. I've never thought of it, but now that you are saying it, you're right. Morocco is a hub for Africa, and many multinationals decide to open their headquarters in Morocco. Therefore, there are much more opportunities for young people coming back to Morocco after their studies, and instead of becoming entrepreneurs, they sometimes prefer to join big names. Yes,
you could push you a big career in Morocco. Like you could have a complete career in a big name like McKinsey or BCG or any other big European, American, or even Moroccan company. But I think, yes, as you have said, like the government is trying to do a lot of things to promote entrepreneurship, and it will surely improve like in the coming years. Let's talk now about like your equity story. Can you tell us more about your equity story and share details on the investors and the amounts raised, when, with whom, and how much did you raise, etc.?
So I'll be able to tell you more about our seed round that has been made public, and tell you who was in the round. Regarding the Series A, we still haven't shared the info, but I'll make sure to let you know in advance who are the investors and who are the and what is the amount. But when it comes to Series A, to seed round, so we raised that after YC, and we could bring on board the great investors, including obviously YC, but also Orange, Plug and Play, Global Founders Capital, GFC, Rocket Internet, and many, many other great investors. From various geographies, we got people from Africa, we got people from the US, we got people from the Middle East, we got people from Southeast Asia. So we are very proud to say that Shari is a Moroccan company that has global investors.
And what difficulties did you face during your different fundraising processes? Would you say that it was easy, or is it more difficult to raise funds in Africa? How did you overcome like the whole thing?
Obviously, so it depends with whom you speak. So when you speak with global tier one funds, it's obviously difficult to have them invest, in a sense that these guys are usually investing in big markets, and you sometimes have to explain why Morocco, what's the challenges of Morocco, what's the specificities of Morocco. So in that sense, it's obviously more difficult to raise when you are based in Morocco than when you are based in bigger markets. However, sometime you end up discussing with investors that have a mandate to invest in Africa, and these people know much better the geography, and they have a thesis which is investing in developing countries. So with these kind of investors, it's easier, because you end up having immediately very precise discussions and technical discussions, because they know obviously your market, your challenges. So again, to answer your question, it's yes and no. More difficult to raise with tier one funds, but easier to raise with the local focused VCs.
And how much did it take you to raise your seed round? Like, what are the specific difficulties that you had to face as an entrepreneur?
So what you have to realize is that the world has turned upside down. So again, we started in 2020, we started raising in 2021, which was probably the best timing ever to raise funds. So 2021 was very easy. And then till March 2022, people were again still looking to invest everywhere in the world. But then the crisis happened, and semester two of 2022 became much more difficult. And as we speak, it's still very difficult. So obviously, raising our Series A was harder than raising our seed round, mainly because of the timing, but we still made it, and we are very happy about the people who came on board for our Series A.
Yes, I've seen that many of your investors are European or American. How do you address their concerns or skepticism from about the market or the economic condition in Morocco? And do you think that the fact that you have studied in France before helped or not? I think that it helped. How did it help?
It's a good question. No, so first of all, Morocco is a very stable country when it comes to the money. And you'll see that the Moroccan dirham has been stable when a lot of other African currencies have gone up and down. When it comes also to the political regime, where we are very lucky to have in place a great administration. So it's easy to convince investors about the stability of Morocco. It becomes more difficult when they get into details of the market itself. Again, because the size is not as big as the one you may find in Europe or in America. So the idea is to be able to prove to them that whatever model you have started in your country is easily expandable to other countries, and that you are an entrepreneur that is able to basically copy past your model in other geographies that are next to your country.
Okay. And do you think like the fact that you have a French background, like you have studied in France beforehand, is helping you convince these investors?
So good question. So France, I'm not sure it helped a lot, because French schools are not as famous as American schools. Obviously, all the French people know their own schools. So it helped when you try to raise from French VCs, and myself, I raised from Orange. So the fact that I went to a French school helped a lot. However, with American VCs, the fact that you went to France doesn't necessarily help. In my very case, I was very fortunate to go to Cornell University in upstate New York. And I think that the brand Cornell has helped me a lot with, again, my successive fundraisings.
Okay, and what advice would you give African entrepreneurs that are raising for the first time?
A lot of advice here to give, but first advice to someone who is raising for the first time is raising, you know, early stage money is more believing in yourself, believing in what you do, and being able to convey this feeling to the others. So when you feel confident, because yourself believe that you're going to succeed, the other will feel it, they will see it, and they will have trust in you. So my advice here is, don't try to convince the others. First, convince yourself. And the consequence of convincing yourself is that you will be able to convince the others.
So as you know, I'm working for Razors, which is an investment banking boutique that helps entrepreneurs in Africa to raise money from C to Series B. And I was wondering what are your thoughts about like using the services of an investment bank? Would you recommend other entrepreneurs to get help from investment banks?
It's a good question. So again, myself, I raised in 2021. And back at that time, nobody was in need of anyone to raise funds. It was an easy game. I could also raise my Series A during 20, again, during the hard time, without the help of any middlemen. However, I have some friends who told me that boutiques can make you save a lot of time, introduce you to the right people, and have a business model that is based on a success fee. So they don't necessarily take retainers, and they are worth the commission they take, mainly because they make you save time and meet the right people. So yes, I think that if you can do it yourself, don't hesitate to get the help of again boutiques that may help you raise money faster and
yes, and because they help you like free roadshow and during the roadshow to like prepare all your documents and also to contact all the investors and to compare the different like term sheets that you will have, etc. Fine. Thank you so much. My last question. What are your plans for the next few months or for the next years?
So as I told you, we just received a payment license from the Central Bank of Morocco. So the idea now is to start offering new financial services to the shop owners, but also to the end users. So the idea is to help the shop owners turn into local financial hubs where the end users can go and do a lot of fintech services.
Okay. Then I wish you the best then for the next few years, and I hope that Sherry will become the first Moroccan unicorn.
Thank you. Inshallah.
Thank you so much for your time again, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Rita, for having me here.
Many thanks to Ismail for his time. If you like this episode, feel free to subscribe and to rate it on Apple Podcasts. You can also subscribe to our newsletter. All the information are in the description. I wish you a good week and see you soon.